Brothers and sisters in Jesus, grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel this morning, Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 31. Jesus says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was lacking the clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or lacking clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' The king will answer them, 'Amen. I tell you, just as you did it for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you did not give me food to eat. I was thirsty, and you did not give me anything to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Lacking clothes, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not take care of me.' Then they will also answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or lacking clothes or sick or in prison and did not serve you?' At that time he will answer them, 'Amen, I tell you, just as you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me.' And they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." The Gospel of our Lord. Dear friends in Christ, how important is a judge? If you ask the city of Carmel, we have access to a survey in recent years, the biggest reason that people unaffiliated with religion don't participate in the religious services in the area, right here in Carmel, is because they perceive religious people as being too judgmental. There's a time to talk about that. That certainly can be true. But today we're going to ask, how important is a judge? How important is an election judge? That kind of judgment to a lot of people right now is very important. How important is a Supreme Court judge? As it turns out, a lot of people care about judgment. If you want honesty and fairness in this world, in government, you'd like clear answers. You'd like there to be a certain amount of judgment. And at the heart and core of every person, every sinner, I think there's a desire for a good judge. That makes a lot of sense to me. And we as Christians confess a judge. We say in our creed, on the last day, he will come, talking about Jesus the Son, God the Son, to judge the living and the dead. We're going to sing in a couple minutes here. We believe that you will come to be our judge, as the Te Deum, kind of a fourth creed that we tend to use from time to time. We Christians are not only expecting a judge, we're looking ahead to a judge. We want this judge to come, because as it turns out, of all people, Jesus is the best judge. He's the least partial, most balanced judge ever, because after all, He spent his life for everybody. He poured out his blood to save everybody. And he wants to judge as many as he would as sheep, those on his right. God our Father wants all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So I'm confident today you'll find that the judgment of Jesus is true and correct and right. Because we wonder at the judgment of the Son. When we approach this text, there are a number of questions that come to mind. Because as it turns out, there are things you can do for the judge before the judgment. Jesus even tells us how to clothe and feed and visit our good shepherd, visit the Son, our judge. Now this is all in future tense. Most of the verbs, the action words in our sermon text today are looking ahead. It hasn't happened yet, but it will. It's stated with so much certainty that in Daniel saw it as a vision in the past. It happened. So we see a very close connection with all of our lessons today. And Daniel, the portion that we read, could really be the first verse of our gospel today, because it's the Son of Man sitting in judgment. Jesus will gather all people. He will separate them into two groups. And these groups are called the sheep to his right and the goats to his left. I think as we read this, we figure we want to be one of the sheep, because Jesus will commend the sheep at the end of time. Did you hear what he said? All the good things the sheep did. For I was hungry and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was lacking clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. What a list. In fact, it's such a tremendous list that Jesus confuses the sheep when he will say this. They're not sure what to think. You see what they say. They wonder at the thought that they will help Jesus in all these ways. And they say, Lord, when? When did we do all these things? When did we feed you? When did we shelter you? When did we clothe you? When did we visit you? When did all of this happen? They'll wonder at all of those credits Jesus has counted toward them. Doesn't seem to make sense, because they're astounded and wonder at the judgment. But then, Jesus will correct the sheep. He will say, whatever you've done for the least of the least, you've done for me. Jesus says, you're connected to me through faith that gives, that helps, that shows love. He says, when you do these things out of faith, guess what you're doing? You're helping me. All of these things are connected to me because I know my own. And I know that I've given them grace and you've received it in faith by the power of the Holy Spirit. They simply serve their neighbor and live their faith. Last week we heard Galatians 5 verse 6, working out their faith in love. Notice also this judgment confuses the goats. They're also not really sure when all of this happened. His list with the goats isn't so pleasant. For all of the good things that he says the sheep did to the goats, he said, you did the opposite. You did not do all of these things, feeding, clothing, visiting, helping. And they don't even know when that could have been possible. When did we have the option to do this? Well, it was when the message of the gospel was proclaimed to them. And when they rejected it. And by reason of that rejection, Jesus puts them on his left. And he says, you don't get to enter this special place. So it's really important for us to see these two groups. And notice, it's just two groups. Jesus doesn't say, well, there's a third in-between section or a fourth or like a waiting room between heaven and hell or a place where you purge away all your remaining sins and guilt and then I'll let you into heaven. It'd be very difficult to read that into what Jesus has to say to all people of all time. There's sheep and there's goats. Rather alarming, but also rather wonderful. But if you've noticed how I've preached this, and if you've looked carefully at Matthew 25, you also notice something is missing. Jesus hasn't mentioned one word. He hasn't brought up the concept of faith. In fact, if we went home today and we said, okay, we're judged on the basis of serving others, even in this small way, we would be going home with a righteousness by works. We'd be going home saying, well, I can do little things, and that helps out in the kingdom of God just as well as some great priest or some great important person in the church, some magnanimous elder. We would still be going home saying, I'll be saved on the basis of these little works that I do. So did Jesus forget to talk about faith? I think if we read this honestly, what's so striking about these sheep is how they remained in wonder at the end. I think God's sheep will remain in wonder at the end. See, they have no memory of doing these goods for the least. They're not going into judgment appealing to those goods for the least. They're not saying, well, at least I can tell this little thing to Jesus, and then he'll accept me because I was doing that for him. Now, the goats don't have any memory of it either, but they're also surprised to learn there is a tally for them. But I think if you look at the sheep, what you notice is their humility. They're so surprised to hear that Jesus would say, you've done these things for the least, that they remember, wait a minute, I was a sinner. There were so many times when I violated God's law. He couldn't possibly be crediting me with all of these good things, even towards him, because I know my sins. And in humble self-deprecation, these sheep say, when? When did that happen? Because I don't count that towards anything that's valued in eternity. They'll wonder at the thought that they've served the Lord, and they'll wonder at the idea that he would commend them. This humble self-deprecation of the sheep shows their faith. It shows this special connection they have with Jesus, and it shows that good works for a Christian are automatic. They're something we naturally do. Jesus tells us in John chapter 15, he says, if a branch remains in the vine and I in him, then he will bear much fruit. You realize there's a lot of times when you know your sins and you know what you haven't done. You know the things you've done against other people. You drag those sins to the cross with all of your guilt and you pour it on Jesus Christ, your Savior, because you know he died on your behalf for free, for nothing. But then there's those other times when you weren't even thinking about it, when you automatically served other people because you came home with forgiveness, because you were connected to the cross by faith alone. There are things people are just doing here at church because they love their Savior. There's people putting together mats for the homeless because they love their Savior. And they know, at least today now, that the least little thing, it's as if they're serving their Savior, Jesus Christ, because they are. You realize there are things you do for your husband or for your wife, for your children or your parents or grandparents because you love your Savior. And you don't give it another thought. And by faith alone, Jesus commends that attitude and that humble, faithful service. Sure, there are definitely times we need to hear the law. The law doesn't go away. And we all certainly need the law as a guide to direct our steps so we understand a little bit more, day in and day out, how we can serve God, what kinds of things he commends. And yet, as Christians, we naturally do this. Brothers and sisters, notice too, there isn't a waiting room for what the next good thing is you're going to do. Because Jesus has prepared it in advance. And Paul says that on the tails of talking about how it's by grace you've been saved, through faith. And this not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not by works, so no one can boast. Okay, there's no way we're going to heaven on the basis of our works. But then what does Paul say? For we are God's workmanship, to do good works prepared in advance for us to do. That's what sinners saved by righteousness through faith alone. That's what we do. We simply serve. It's natural. And God wants us to recognize that we've done that without even thinking about it at times, even as we think about the next good thing that God has put in front of us. How do I know that? Well, let's look at the rest of the Bible and see what St. Paul has to say, see what Jesus has to say. Romans 14:23, everything that does not proceed from faith is sin. So Jesus certainly understands faith and sin as he tells this parable of the sheep and goats. Or the writer to the Hebrews, without faith it is impossible to please God. Or the heart of the gospel itself when Jesus says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And on that basis, even in the Proverbs, we already hear Solomon saying, he who oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. Salvation isn't suddenly by works. Jesus didn't change his mind. However, all of our good works are placed in reference to Jesus Christ. And because our hearts are prepared by the means of grace, prepared by baptism, prepared by Holy Communion, that have served us and grown our faith, we know how to approach the judgment. This world is filled with judges. Don't pretend like that's not true. We've got election judges, we have Supreme Court justices, we have people judging one another day in and day out, sometimes on a basis of evil things. But you and I look to the greatest judge of all, who is always ruling from his heavenly throne, who is always running for office in your hearts, and who is always winning at the empty tomb. Trust in him, and then you will wonder at the judgment of the Son. Amen.